dead. It was the first thought on Tim's mind as he woke in nothingness. If he remembered correctly, and he always remembered correctly, he was definitely dead. He'd been shot, one bullet shattering his spinal column, another ricocheting its way into his chest, and another taking out his liver. That's when he hit the pavement of the alleyway outside his apartment. Of course, that didn't make sense, since he was very much alive, conscious, and cramped in an air ventilation system. Tim originally mistook his metallic hell for drawers in a morgue, but after a brief crawl in the darkness, Tim could tell that this was not a simple drawer. This was a labyrinth of vents and ducts. He was on his stomach, confined and hungry, but barely alive. He was feeling surprisingly well for someone who should be paralyzed. He crawled through the vents. His movements were not aimless, but exploratory. For an easy escape, he'd need to find an exterior vent. He kept going over the events of the night he died. The cafe, the car, Ruth, the KGB agent. Her name had been Nicola, and although bits and pieces of his memory were fuzzy, Tim was pretty sure she had killed him, not with bullets, but afterward. As he bled out on the pavement, and tinges of pain sent his body seizing, he remembered her standing over him with long, graceful legs and a calmness in her eyes as she broke his neck. In fact, he was positive of it. He remembered trying to fight her off and the dirty copper taste of blood in his mouth. He tried to shove this unexplainable memory to the back of his mind and carry on. After clambering forward for 8 or 9 minutes and almost falling 5 feet into an underground vent shaft, Tim couldn't fight the questions, and honestly, thinking about his unexplained death was easier than crawling around with no end in sight. He lay there, his face barely touching the bottom of the metal vent. He was still trying to figure out the different ways he could have survived the bullets, the injury, the pain, the bleeding, the healing. Based on how he felt, he imagined it could be months, possibly even years since he'd been shot. It was as though he'd never been injured. His back felt fine, his arm wasn't weak, but most importantly, he wasn't immobile. He lay there with just the darkest company while trying to figure out the how and the why behind the entire ordeal. But his problem solving was interrupted by a familiar voice. Tim? Tim! This sorry excuse of a whisper came from an outside vent. Someone was trying to be quiet, but couldn't resist screaming out. Tim would recognize it anywhere. It was Nicolo, or Da Vinci as Tim truly knew him, since apparently code names were no longer in use. Da Vinci, Tim responded, where are we? Hearing his own voice was like listening to grinding metal. His throat was hoarse. Tim shuffled as fast as he could through the ventilation system toward the source of the noise. His heart pounded. He could feel it shaking his entire chest. How did we get here? We're at some kind of remote KGB facility? Da Vinci hissed through the vents, his voice painstakingly restrained. I took care of the guards, so don't rush. So it was real. Tim spoke more to himself than to Da Vinci. For someone who has shot 5 or 6 times, I feel fantastic.
And so our CIA agent heroes, Tim, codenamed Dresden, and Da Vinci, codenamed Niccolo, are turned into grotesque new creatures, along with another team member, Diana, codenamed Hera. Their transformation comes courtesy of Soviet KGB agents who inject them with a sinister kind of steroid. Now, these transformed Americans have superhuman strength and the ability to heal their own injuries, and one even has the ability to predict future events. Where did you get the idea to blend a 1960s spy story with dystopian science fiction?
I originally started Seven Side Spy my senior year of high school. So at that time, X-Men First Class had just come out. A gorgeous, mutant, 1960s piece that was super inspiring, but they were so stylistic in that they were superheroes, and it was very save the day, get the bad guy, and I was curious about what if it hadn't gone well? Jennifer Lawrence and Michael Fassbender, they're gorgeous. What if they had those abilities, but they were completely unable to reenter society, and then you add the complicated underlines of what this meant morally for them to have become these things rather than been born as them. And it kind of blended into this beautiful little niche thing.
I don't want to give away too much from the story, but it's worth noting that the KGB injects a group of their own agents, which sets up a conflict between artificially augmented American and Soviet spies. As a writer of fiction, how do you find that balance between exploring themes of weaponized superhumans while still making your characters relatable to ordinary human readers?
Human readers. I like to think that there are probably non-human readers out there somewhere. I think what you can do to make them so relatable is that they were people before they were this. And I think that's one of the things that you get with the fact that it is a steroid injection rather than I was born with superpowers. It's that they knew themselves as these previously super high maintenance and glamorous individuals who were gorgeous and living these crazy lives, and then they have to adjust. And I think anyone can relate to having to adjust to something that was completely unexpected and life-changing.
Now, at the end of the book, you do sort of leave the door open for a sequel. Can you tell us a little bit about your next project?
My next project is not a sequel to Seven Sided Spy. It was a fun time, but I've got a lot of ideas brewing up there. I'm currently working on a project tentatively titled Viva La Education, which is inspired by this Betsy DeVos education system that we're living in. And I'm pretty excited for it. I can't say much about it or my editor will kill me, but I am excited to share it and aiming to have it out sometime next spring.
This book, Seven Sided Spy, is your debut novel. Tell me a little bit about the experience of being a new published author.
I did have a couple poetry publications prior to publishing a novel, but with this being the first big thing that I've ever published, it's been absolutely insane. All of the people that you meet and all of the wonderful connections that you make. Writers are such a loving community because we're all a little bit weird and we're all just trying to tone our craft. And I've met some of the best people I've met my entire life just through these past couple months with what has happened since my book has come out.
Hannah Carmack is the author of Seven Sided Spy. At WBNIJ.org, you can see a video of her reading another excerpt from this book. Hannah Carmack, thank you, and stay human.
Thank you so much.